It's here. It's time. It's here. It's time. It's the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show.
Let's go.
You're listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show right here on the Uncommon Gospel Radio Network, not your ordinary praise.
We are so excited today about what we're going to bring to you. Listen, we keep it real so that you can heal on our show. We don't believe in pulling any punches. We believe that if we keep things real, that we're able to heal. You're never going to be able to deal with or overcome something that you're not honest about. And so that's what we do right here on the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. I am not your ordinary radio show. This is not your ordinary radio program. We're so excited, y'all, because today we have really a legend in gospel music who is with us. We're excited. He's a great man of God. He's traveling the country. And we're just glad that he's with us today. We're going to talk all things Dr. Ernest Pugh, all things worship today. And it's going to be a great show today. Man of God, welcome to the show.
Man, it's so good to be on here with you.
Listen, we are so excited. You, many people listening are familiar with your music, familiar with your songs. You are doing so many incredible things now, and I want to get right into it. I mean, listen, I was first exposed to your music and your ministry with the song "Rain on Us." That's
wow.
Like a classic song now. I want to jump right into it. What got you? How'd you get into gospel music?
Well, you know, I'm born into it, man, since I was about the age 4 or 5. And if you know anything about the Church of God in Christ and singing, you were in a group called the Sunshine Band. And and my mom was like, I don't care what y'all did on the weekend, how many basketball games you got on Sunday, you're going to be up in that choir stand. So started that from there. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, so Orlando Draper from Orlando Draper & Associates came and grabbed me at about 12. I was not even in high school yet, and they grabbed me, and I started kind of hanging out with them there in Memphis singing. And, hey, by the time I turned 16, I believe, he had recorded me the first time, and then I joined the military at 18 and just kept going. So, you know, it's just been every chance that I get, and at every city that I wound up in, even in the military, I ended up singing and recording.
Wow. Wow. That is something. How did you, because you mentioned, you talk about Church of God in Christ. You talk about Memphis. 901. Shout out 901. What part of 901? No, because see, my family, I was born in Denver, raised in Memphis. And we got family all over. We got family all over the Memphis area, the greater Memphis area. But we still have our family house. And for the folks, the true, what is it, Memphians, the true Memphians, they'll know about Orange Mound, the Mound.
Listen.
You know what I mean? I was spent my summers at the Orange Mound Community Center. You know, that's where I was. Dunbar Elementary School, Wilburn, Mrs.
I'm going to tell you one thing. You better know how to fight if you're going over there in the Mound, Orange Mound.
Better know how to fight. Listen, that's what I'm saying. Listen, don't let my bougie fool you. Listen, I have tendencies. Let me just say.
Well, I'm more of a Fraser, Millington, Highway 51 area of town.
Okay.
I grew up there, and then we got into some trouble there in school, and so I wound up in the Millington area. So I graduated Millington Central High, but we were my parents and everybody, grandparents, we started out there in the Fraser Tresman area, and just from there just evolved.
Wow, that is something. It's a small world. You know, we were talking right before the show, we were talking about, you know, gospel music and the difference in the region and the area.
Sure.
You have been able to last and build a great career, and more importantly, ministry for a long period of time. How have you been able to have longevity and still maintain relevance?
I would have to say really keeping your ear to the ground to see what God is saying in whatever particular season. Like, for instance, when I got ready to record Rain on Us, we were going through an economic downturn, and I wanted to do something that talked about God being Jehovah Jireh and providing. So I went with my team. They're all spirit-filled, very skilled, but above all, they know how to really hear and be sensitive to what God is saying, not just go with a beat, not go with a fad, but or a trend, but really to go with what God is saying. I would have to say that that's it, being able to articulate the heart of the Father accurately to his people, and then he can trust you, you know, with all the platforms and all the different other opportunities.
That is so good. That's so good. I love that because I think the reality is that sometimes, like you just said, people are looking for the fad, looking for what's the next great hype, listening for all of that. But the reality is that you got to stay in touch with God. And it's just that simple, right?
Yes, sir. It's almost like if I can trust you to convey a message on my behalf, I'm going to continue to use you. But if you're an unreliable source that I cannot trust, I cannot channel this message through you, then I'm going to have to go elsewhere to find somebody to get the message out.
Wow, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. Yeah. Listen, y'all, you are listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman radio show. We've got none other than the maestro, the living gospel legend himself, Dr. Ernest P. We're so glad that he's on with us today. And we jumped right into it, and we got so much more to talk about. We want to talk about all of the incredible things that you've got going now, what you're doing right now. And then I want to get into some nitty-gritty because you made a great statement before we started the show talking about the relationship between the worship leader and the pastor. And in today's culture, it seems to me like everybody is a worship leader, everybody is a gospel artist,
right.
And nobody is serving faithfully. So we're going to talk about that and so much more when we come back right after this. Listen, y'all are listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman radio show. Connect with me on social media, Facebook at Bishop Foreman, Instagram at Bishop Foreman, Twitter at Bishop Foreman. And if you're listening and you like Snapchat, y'all know I don't really be on Snapchat, but it's Dr. Dr. Kevin Foreman. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you, Jesus. Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing love. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this place.
Let your all-consuming
fire.
Yeah.
Fill this tabernacle.
Yeah.
Purify our hearts.
Surround us in this. Let's ask for the rain tonight. Let's ask for the rain. Say rain on us.
Rain on us.
Somebody needs him to breathe.
Rain on us.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Send your spirit, Lord.
Send your spirit, Lord. Yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Listen, y'all. What up, though? Number one. Number two, we've got with us today Dr. Ernest Pugh, great man of God, worship leader extraordinaire, and has done so many incredible things today. Listen, I need you to make sure you're letting people know to tune in to our show. We're so glad that you participate, so glad you're being blessed. You know, Doc, one of the great things that's been happening with people who have been listening to the show is that they're not just being entertained, but they're being inspired. And so we're seeing people get saved off of the show, right? We're seeing people who are really developing and growing. And so it's an awesome platform to be able to reach people, not just to entertain and inspire, but to really transform. And that seems to be something that's really, really centristic to what you do, because you're more than just a quote-unquote gospel artist. You really are a minister of worship. You're really a minstrel.
Yes, sir. You know, that's my heart. My heart's desire is really to get people as close to God as I can. It's not about, you know, being a superstar. If we're going to be a star, we got to be that kind of star like in Bethlehem that's pointing people to where Jesus is.
Right.
My thing is really to, you know, to cause them really to draw nigh unto God through the worship, through the praise, through whatever the segment is. And as they draw nigh unto God, allow him to draw nigh unto them, because he's the one that can meet their needs. It's not I.
Right. That's so good. Now, we were talking before we went to break about, you know, there's tons of gospel artists today, you know, especially if you look on Instagram and everywhere. And that's not a bad thing. I don't think that's a negative thing.
Oh, no.
But one of the things that I sometimes see happening is that artists sometimes are getting into a space to where the artistry takes precedent over serving. Even if it, as it relates to their local church, their pastor, being faithful to those types of things. What would you say to all of the worship leaders and worship artists that are listening now? Because, again, you're somebody that's just not talk the talk, but you walk the walk. You've got longevity and relevance, and God's still using you in a great way. What would you say to them?
I would say you have to learn how to differentiate between industry and ministry. And while they can be used interchangeably, they are not the same thing. For instance, what I always say to the young artists who I'm writing a book right now, talks about having your cake and eating it too, meaning you can come into prominence as an artist and be on Billboard and sing on the big stages. But at some point, to get to the beauty and the balance of what your calling is in the earth, you got to be under the leadership of a pastor, a leader, because of their oversight, they give you insight. And so when you submit to a house, that's not the same as when you get on your stage and you fly first class and you sit, you know, in the best cars and all. No, when you come into a house on the ministry side, you embrace the vision of that church and you enter in what's called a marriage between the pulpit and the music pit, which means you got to learn how to submit to authority. You got to pay your tithes. You got to present your body. You got to, you know, you got to do all the things that will make a marriage or a relationship work. One of the main important things is to communicate. I had this one young, and I this young artist was like, "Well, you know, you can't tell me what to do. You know, I'm topping the charts. I'm my own man." I said, "No, not so." I said, "You're going to always be boxed in by the stipulations of the Almighty. You're not your own. You were bought with a price, and so you got to surrender and submit that gift to somebody. Because when you learn how to submit, you know, to somebody, it's at that particular point that that person, that pastor watches for your soul. They cover you. They pray for you. All of those things. So I said, if you're going to differentiate and really have a great balance, then you got to understand the difference between industry and ministry and honor that position there at that church, because that's where your blessing, your prosperity connection really is to your man and your woman of God. I don't care how big you get. You got to be submitted to somebody.
That is so good. That is so good. Yeah. That is so good. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We are talking with gospel artists and legend and so many great accolades and Emmy winners, Stellar and Dove nominated gospel artists. I mean, your accolades go on and on. But what I love about you, I just got to tell you this, and what I love about you is your approachability. I love the fact your humility is awesome and it's amazing. And even in just our few conversations, it's just been awesome to be able to connect with people. I just like being real. You know, that's me. I believe in all of the appropriate protocol and honor and all of those things. But I love when people are real. And so I just want to say I appreciate you for just being you. And that's such an awesome thing. Such an awesome thing.
I appreciate you, man.
What you just said. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate what you said too, because I got to say, as a bishop, you know, as a pastor to pastors, so many pastors, one of the areas that they come to me for counsel and guidance and mentorship, et cetera, is as it relates to dealing with a variety of aspects of their church, but also specifically a lot of the areas they have issues is as it relates to music, their worship leaders, their music teams, and those types of things. And we know, you know, there's spiritual connotation to that, but what would you say, you've spoken to the artists, you've spoken to the worship leaders, what would you say to the pastors who maybe are having some struggles there because they got a worship leader that just they didn't got beside themselves, or they got some music ministry where some things have kind of gotten out of control? What would you say to encourage them from your perspective?
Yeah, it's like when they go their separate ways and things of that nature. I think the best thing to do is for him to just continue to pastor. A lot of times they bring in the worship leader or the recording artist, and, you know, it's fine to give him all of these accolades, but he's still the pastor. He's the one who has to give an account for what happens in the four walls of that church. And so while they come in with their great accolades, and we thank God for all the accomplishments, the one that God has planted there to oversee and to lead and to feed that sheep, those sheep, is the pastor. And so even with the worship leader, everywhere that I've gone, I've worked at about three churches in my whole career in the three decades that I've done it. But I was not just there as a employee. I received them as my pastor. And I'm so glad that I did, because when I receive them as my pastor, I fall under them. They can point me, and I have to trust them to point me. Some of the times I went and I had invitations. I had songs that were popular. I had an itinerary, and I would always go and say, "Pastor, is it okay for me to go?" I had to get clearance. He's my pastor.
Right.
So I can't just come in. I'm the man. I'm the star. No, no, no. And if he said to me, "I really got a lot going on. Can you switch the date?" On numerous occasions, I switched the date because it's not about, you know, going out here and just acquiring things. But it's about being submitted and not vulnerable to all of these attacks. When you're covered under leadership and he really takes his rightful place as the pastor, And it's a mutual respect thing. He's not afraid to put you in play. And when I needed to be checked, oh, my pastor would check me. You know what? I think you need to do A, B, C, D. Did you pray? Did you see God? Or are you just going because it's a nice check? And it calls you a sense of accountability. But you know what? More than anything, it caused me to have such a reverence and a respect for the holy things of God, but also for the office of that of a music evangelist, which still falls really under the fivefold ministry. The evangelist falls under there. So he was like, God's going to still hold you accountable. I'm the pastor, but he's still going to hold you responsible. So, you know, they have to come in and really submit to that man. And then even when things go and they go in a different direction, there's a way to even lead. Like when they move on, I think people come to seasons and different assignments for a season and a reason. When it's time to move on, there is a way to move on and God still get the glory and the people can still be edified to where it doesn't have to divide the sheep or make them have to decide, you know, who's the greatest and all that. No, let him be the pastor, and he should be respected as the pastor.
That's really good. That is really, really good. I love that. But I think that explains your longevity. Honor is the gateway to greatness, and I think that explains why you've had longevity and relevance. And I want to talk about so much more, because you're writing a book. You've got so many projects going on. I want to talk about that. See, everything that you got going. No, that's good stuff. You know, I said like this. I'd much rather be super productive than extremely passive. And so I'd much rather have a whole lot going on than not doing nothing. You know, that's just the way I am. And, you know, people will talk about you when you're that way and say, oh, you're just a workaholic, you're this and you're that. And I said, you know, the truth of the matter is that the way I view life is we got a limited amount of time. The Bible says our days are numbered. So while we're counting up on birthdays, heaven is counting down. And so the way I view it is I've got to maximize that time I got because I don't know when the end of that time is. And so, no, you got to do everything that you can do to change as many lives while you're here. So we're going to talk that and so much more, with Dr. Ernest Pugh when we get back on the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Listen, I need y'all. I want y'all to tweet me right now. While you're listening to the show, and I want you to send in some questions that you have got for our guest today. Send in some questions. Let us know what you think about today's show. Hit me up on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Bishop Foreman, Snapchat, DR, Dr. Kevin Foreman. Y'all know I don't be on Snapchat. Don't mess with me on Snapchat. You get on the other three. I just tell them because I got them, Doc, but the truth is I don't be on nobody's Snapchat.
I can't do it.
Yes, sir. Right. We'll be right back after this.
I need to glow. I want to glow. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, and more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need your glory.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Join me, come on. Let him know that you're hungry for him, that you're longing for him, that you're thirsty for him. Oh, yeah. Lift your voice and say, I need, I can't live without. Lord, I need you.
Welcome back, y'all. This is the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We have got the maestro. I love this term you said, the worship evangelist. I have never heard that, but God, I love that. Dr. Ernest Pugh right here on the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Thank y'all so much. We can see you hitting us up on social media. So many great questions and great feedback about the show today. What all do you have going on? Because you mentioned you're writing a book. You've got so many projects. You're traveling. Tell everybody, because we both share a radio show on a radio network, the Uncommon Gospel Music Radio Network, which I'm excited about that. But what all do you have going on? What's happening in your world?
Well, we got a radio show, which is called the Worship Leaders Lounge. And what the Worship Leaders Lounge does is it's a sounding board as well as a safe haven for those that affect the flow of worship. You know, a lot of times they just need, you know, somebody to talk to release information. And that's what we do. We sit there, and some of it is confidential. I have a background in pastoral counseling. And we speak about challenges, the struggles, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, that it comes with the assignment. So that's the radio show that I'm doing, but it's also a podcast. And so we broadcast that every week. And we use music. Now, this is what's going to shock you. Not only do we do the worship leaders who serve in capacity as recording artists, we do sound engineers, we do pastors, we do the drummer.
Everybody
who affects the flow of worship. And they come in and they talk about whether it's the lighting. Do you realize that sometimes the lighting that they choose to use could set a different type of mood or mode in a worship setting? So we talk about all of those type things. And then we got a book that's out, which is information I've gathered from doing worship symposiums. The book is called Having Your Cake and Eating It Too. And what it does is it teaches us how to differentiate, if you would, between industry and ministry. So we got that going on. We're touring. We just got through coming up on 8 years of being signed to a distribution deal with E1 Entertainment. So we're doing a compilation CD with that, and that's going to also be a tour. So it's kind of like it never stops. We're not mad.
You're a Renaissance man, right, in many ways. And so, you know, a Renaissance man, for those not familiar with that term, a Renaissance man is a person that's gifted and talented in a variety of areas. And they bring something uniquely creative to these different areas. What, out of all that you do, what would you say is what brings you the most joy? What's the thing that brings you the most excitement?
A lot of the joy comes from, of course, seeing the results. Like people coming to the altar call, of course, responding, writing in, letting you know how that they were actually affected by your ministry, by your interview, by, you know, your various things that you do, and to share it all. Of course, with my family, I have 2 kids, and they watch everything I'm doing. And they, you know, they're younger, so a lot of times they'll come back and give me insight from a perspective of a millennial, or somebody who's younger, and they'll say, that's fine, you were talking to the they call them the seasoned saints. But in terms of me, so it kind of keeps you balanced and keep you on your P's and Q's, because we have these conversations about the effect of ministry. And all that stuff just means so great, because you can gain the whole world and all these other things. And then you're a public success, but you're a private failure at home. So to be able to come back and listen to the input insight that they give you, it's joyful to me. It's great.
That's great. That's great. That's great. What is? I want to ask you this question. What do you see as the next? You know, I think the body of Christ, especially today, is, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about fads and some of the things that kind of change. What do you think is the greatest or the next move, if you will, you know, in the body? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Satan being the god of this age. And if we look over time and historicity, we see that, you know, there's different ages, different dispensations, if you will, of time. And, you know, you have certain moves that become popular throughout time, and then those things change. What do you think the next move to hit the body of Christ is? And tell me why.
Well, one of the things that I'm seeing is a lot of people are doing these satellites. They're doing the satellite. It's a real good friend of mine that's in Jersey right now is doing satellite services. And the worship is done at one particular service. And because he made the analogy, he said, he told me this years ago. He said, your CD can go to London, can go to Africa, can go to all these places. Some of them, it can go simultaneously. You can't go. But by, because of what technology is, he said, that music is going to go, bodies are going to be healed, lives are going to be changed. He is doing the same thing now with his satellite services. So he'll do at his headquarters at 8 o'clock in the morning in Jersey, he'll do one service. But this service is then sent to four other locations. And get this, this is what's so crazy. They are having the same amount of people that are saved, healed, delivered, tithers, joining the church. It's the same whether he's physically there or they watch the satellite. It's crazy. So they've watched their statistics over the last 9 years. So I said that to say that because of where technology is going, we can literally begin to, and another friend of mine, Hot Ramsey, does a thing called Uplift. He has a podcast that he does, and he sends out a one-line prophetic word every day. He's got over 30-something thousand subscribers to it. And he said, because of where technology, see, the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. The Bible is it's so profound, and the word is already settled in heaven. I think our songs, I think our messages, I think our books are getting to the place to where people are going to be without excuse now. You're going to still be able to see the effects and the power of the gospel happen in this next dispensation of time than we did. We won't have to physically go. In other words, we can send the word. We can send a prophetic text. We can send it, and the lives of God's people can be changed and transformed. And so I'm looking forward to that because we're getting older, and we can't always be in seven places. But get this, that word can go there. I can send that CD there. And I did it with a lot of people. I had my last record was entitled Survive, and I got overwhelming response from people just saying how they were dealing with cancer and different things. And I felt bad because you can't take all the engagements that you're invited to come to sing, just like you can't go to all of your preaching ones. But to know that the word still works, even if I send it or if I physically go myself, I think that's just the effect of where the glory of God is falling in the earth in this final hour.
That is so powerful. And you know what? I can attest to that. We were talking because, you know, you and I, you know, reared in Memphis. And so that's a different church climate, different church culture. But Denver, for example, is 46 out of 50 for church attendance in the nation. So there's only four places with lower church attendance. And the state's 4% African American, so it lacks cultural and ethnic diversity in many ways. And so what God has done through Harvest is nothing short of a miracle, because it doesn't happen in this region for African American-led churches. But then number two, we had to get creative with technology. So I love what you're saying, because I totally agree with what you're saying. We literally, every Sunday, every Wednesday, we go live. We are going live to seven other what we call digital campuses simultaneously. Apple TV, Roku, at the same time. Apple TV, Roku, our mobile app, Facebook app, YouTube app. And then addition to that, you have individuals who are in cities where they're connected to Harvest. I'm their pastor, and they will literally host what we call watch parties right there in their home. So they will get together. They will get food. They will get people. They will have it right there in their house, and they got Harvest going on in Chicago, in L.A., Austin, in Miami, you know, Indiana, all over using that same technology. So it's powerful, because what you said is so true, is that there's really no excuse, because it's accessible. And even if you're not in the same city of that man of God and that church you're assigned to, you can still participate. So that's amazing.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. Powerful.
Technology is making it happen. Listen, we are down, believe it or not, y'all. Can y'all believe that we are almost down to our last segment for today? We have been talking, if you're just joining us, with the maestro, the legend, Dr. Ernest Pugh, gospel music artist, and we've been talking about all things worship, all things Dr. Ernest Pugh. And when we come back for this last segment, we're going to talk specifically about some things that relates to worship and you, because you may be listening right now, and you may be going through some stuff, you're dealing with some stuff, and you're saying, this is great, y'all are talking about technology and talking about writing a book, but right now I'm going through something, right now I'm dealing with something. We're going to talk about the power that worship has for you and to transform your life and your situation. Praise is a weapon, and we're going to come back in just a moment and show you how to use that weapon. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to Mr. Kevin Foreman, Radio Show. We'll be right back.
I will survive, won't be defeated, for there's purpose planned for me, and I will not die in the midst of my wars, for there's victory in me, and it's the anointing of the oil that covers me. It's by His blood I've been set free. To lift your voice and declare it right here. I will not die
praise. I live to worship you. Help me say,
I'm not afraid to
I need you to breathe. You are the air I breathe. I need you to breathe. Oh, I need you to breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Welcome back, y'all. Listen, you have been tuned in to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We keep it real so that you can heal. You know, I'm all about you seeing results in your life. And so that's what we've been talking about today with gospel music maestro, legend, Dr. Ernest Pugh. And today what we've been talking about has been, you know, a variety of subjects. And I want to end our show today talking about the power of worship as a weapon. You know, because here's the truth, that we got people listening that are excited about your book, they're excited about what you're doing, they're excited about technology, but they're going through some real situations right now. They're dealing with health challenges. They're dealing with emotional baggage. They're dealing with feeling like a failure. Some of them are thinking, you know what, I thought I'd be further along in my life right now than I am, and so I constantly battle being up, being down, being discouraged, feeling not good enough. A telephobia, that's the fear of, you know, having what it takes. You've been a worshiper, and you've been a leader of worship for over three decades, as you mentioned,
yes,
both having relevance and longevity. The truth is that you don't just do that because you pray. You don't just do, which I know you do. You don't just do that because you're good and skilled, which of course you are. You've got to really live this thing out. Talk about
yes,
how worship is a weapon. You know, I look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord
yes,
set ambushes against the enemies. Talk about how worship has gotten you through some of those tough times in life.
I always say this, that it's about really creating an atmosphere when we do what it is that we do from our mouth, you know, to God's ear, as to an audience of one. It really is about creating an atmosphere, if you would, that makes it conducive for God to move in the midst of his people. And the atmosphere, I was talking with Stephen Lawrence several weeks ago, and he said the atmosphere really is the mindset of the people. So a lot of times before I sing anything, I really try to get the mindset of the people to focus not on the bigness of their problem, but the bigness of their God. And then finally, with the music, with the strings, with the element, I shift their mind to where I'm like, you're going to draw nigh unto God in this moment. And you're going to allow him to draw nigh unto you. Because what I learned, Bishop, is when God comes in the room, when we invite him in and we draw nigh unto him and he's standing there, he doesn't come really into the atmosphere to take sides, but he comes mm-hmm, to take over.
He doesn't negotiate
with the enemy. He says what it's going to be. He calls the shots. And so when we can get people to really focus on really who God is, not treating God like he's a sugar daddy or I need a car, I need a house, I need a no. We worship him not for what he can do, but for who he is. And I believe right, as we begin to worship him for who he is, that's what creates the atmosphere. It's almost like he's there all the time, like James Moore used to sing, but there's certain things we can do with our worship that he can be like, okay, I wasn't going to really say nothing, but since y'all have gone just really in so deep, now I got to say something. I got to make my presence right, known. That's what I tell people. I say, pull on him. Pull on all of heaven until you get the manifestation. And this is the mindset of the people. If they don't get anything I'm saying today, the mindset of the people has to just really be that, you know what? God is going to show up because when you stand on the warranty and the authority of his word and you speak it in the face of the enemy, because the prince of the power of the air, if he's the one who's between our lips and the words we're saying, all we got to put in the atmosphere is one positive thing to infiltrate his territory. And we can then infiltrate his territory with one positive thing. So what I tell them to do, concentrate on who the bigness of your God is. And then speak out of your mouth what that is. And you watch that atmosphere change, because you're putting this in the atmosphere. You're doing it. And if you come right, with the anticipation, what I tell the people when they come to concert, don't come to be entertained. When you allow your anticipation, it'll bring forth the manifestation of what you want God to do. I don't care if it's healing in your body. I've seen people with cancer, the cancer dry up, because your worship is what created that atmosphere that was conducive for the mood that you need. So we need to stop. If we could get the mindset of the people to stop looking for entertainment, stop being enthralled about or enamored by the fact that they're a recording artist, they're a superstar. No. They are God's agent that's going to transport you like a Uber driver to your destination in Him. That's all that is.
They're going to get you where you're supposed to go. That's so powerful.
They're
going to
transport you. Yes, sir.
That's so good. Listen, y'all, you've been listening to Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We're talking to Dr. Ernest Pugh. You've got a couple of things that you're doing, some night pop-up nights of worship,
yeah,
and all those kinds of things. What's the best way for those that want to connect with you, connect with your music? What's the best way for them to do that?
My website, www.ernestpugh.com, but also I'm very active with my social media, mainly with Instagram and Facebook. I try to get a snippet or two of everything we're doing so people can get it. But I mean, I'm at Ernest Pugh on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Now, I'm kind of like you with the Snapchat. My nerves are too bad. I can't do it.
Listen,
I may log on, but I don't say anything. I can't do it.
I don't say that. Listen, it's too much. That's just too much to update. To me, that ain't nothing but the Instagram stories, too. And so that's just too much. So every now and then, if I'm driving down the street, I'll remember to do it, and then I'll hop on there. But
you come on and say hi. How y'all doing?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what up, though? How y'all? Y'all good? Shalom, whatever it is. And keep it moving. One more question before we go, because I want you to pray. I'm going to want you to pray for our listeners today. To just pray for whatever they're facing, whatever they are dealing with. You know, when I look at the children of Israel, we're coming out, we're in the season now, the spring Hebrew feast. And the Hebrew feasts are significant. Many Christians aren't very familiar with them. And I think that's why we teach a lot about it. We've got tons of messages that people can get through our mobile app, over 8,000 downloads to our mobile app.
Wow.
People can go get that. They can text Harvest to 59769. Due to the faithful giving of the people of Harvest. Listen, Doc, all of our messages we give away totally free. There's no download fee. There's no 99-cent transaction fee. The podcasts are totally free on YouTube. They're totally free. Facebook, they're totally free. And our Apple TV channel, our Roku channel, totally free, because we wanted to get the word in the hands of as many people as possible.
Yes.
And the faithful giving of the people of Harvest do that. I say that to say we're in this spring Hebrew feast season and time. And in all of that, it's significant, because the significance of the Hebrew feast, they start with Passover, and then it goes into Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the Day of First Fruits, which is what we call Easter, Jesus being the first fruit. The law of first fruits says whatever the first is, so the rest are. So since Jesus is resurrected, we can resurrect, because He's blessed, we're blessed, because He can overcome, we can overcome whatever He is, we are. And then you go into Shavuot, which is the day of Pentecost, all of that. Now, some people, I just threw out a whole lot of stuff, and they're like, what is this man talking about? Number one, go get the messages. But number two, here's what you need to know, is that this is literally a season. Our prayer, praise, and worship can set a meeting with God, but the feasts are when heaven sets a meeting with us. And so in this time right now, it is a time where literally heaven opens, and God is setting a meeting with us, His people. And the way you show up to that meeting is we show up through worship. And we show up with our praise. And so the significance of this time, you know, this is the same time. You shouldn't be shocked if you see people acting crazy with you, because it's the same time Judas started acting up. You shouldn't be shocked if things change quickly, because the feasts are times of change. I mean, things are about to shift, things are about to change. And if you even look at the history of your life, you'll see that it's always followed the same trend, because you can't beat the feast. You just can't beat them. I say that to say this, sir. When it comes to worship and praise, what about that person right now that says, there is so much hell going on around me, I can't even get a song out, I can't get a praise out. What do you say to them? And then I want you to pray for them.
Yes. I would say that, you know, that man or woman of God, that where sin abounds, that grace does much more abound. God sees, he hears, he understands. His ears are not so heavy that he can't hear you praise. He can't hear you worship. He can't even hear you pray and call his name. His heart is not so heavy that he can't understand it. And his arm is not too short that he can't reach out to you right where you are. Continue even in this moment to look unto the hills from which comes your help. Help is here. Help is nigh. It's nigh. It's even before you, even in your mouth. So, man, woman of God, never lose your cry. Never lose your praise. Continue to draw nigh unto God. Pursue him. Run after him. Pull on him and get everything that you need. He wants to give unto you the kingdom. It is his desire to give unto you the kingdom. I decree and declare over you that God shall make all grace abound towards you. Always having all sufficiency in everything that you stand in need of, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically. We decree and declare that from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, that you shall be made every which way whole. We come against and we break the spirit of oppression and depression. Yes, we come against suicide. We come against that feeling of being all alone and having no help. We say that help is nigh you. Reach out and receive it right where you are. And we thank you that God is changing and turning and shifting things even as we lift this prayer up unto him. His eyes are in every place. He can see you where you are, and he'll never leave you where you are. God has taken you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. This is the last day of your tear, but this is the first day of the best day of your life, and it is so. In Jesus' matchless name we do pray. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Incredible. Thank you so much for being on with
Thank
me today.
Thank you, Bishop.
This is the first time, but not the last time. And we're so excited about everything God is doing in your life. I want to pray. You
pray
for our audience. I want to pray for you before we hop off. Again, y'all, you've been listening to Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Y'all know we keep it real around here so that you can hear. I'm not your ordinary pastor, not your ordinary preacher. Don't want to be. I believe that at the end of the day, you got to be who it is God sent for you to be. And you said one of our sayings. I don't know if you know this. You probably don't, but when you said when God shows up, he doesn't take sides. He takes over. That's actually one of our core values that we we take over. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to pray for you. Father, we pray for this man of God, everything you're doing in and through his life. We speak not only continued favor, but continued doors of opportunity opening, Father, for him to even reach beyond the gospel world and the Christian world, but to begin to reach and to tap into audiences, Father, where the gospel may not be known. Use him exactly as the term he spoke and prophesied, as a musical evangelist. That is, where you would use his music to reach the unsaved, to reach the unchurched, to reach the de-churched, those that have been far from God. Use him in that way, Father. We pray for continued health, continued strength in his body, and that he'd have a grace in this year of manifestation. This is the year where we see what we've sown for. We're going to possess what we've prayed for. We're going to walk in what we've had to worry about. We're going to now live in what we had to labor for. That's what nine is. It's a number of birthing. It's a number of manifestation, and it's a number of results. Father, do exceedingly and abundantly above all that he could ask or think. And we thank you that it is so in Jesus' name.
Amen. I appreciate you, big guy. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Listen, y'all, until next week, this is the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Can't wait to see you next time right here.